First, the throne of grace together in prayer. Do we have anything that needs to be brought up in prayer that we haven't been in prayer for about? Okay. Yes. If James is a believer in Christ, okay, then I'll tell you what. There's a guy named James. Nobody, none of us know him. God works all these things for a reason. There's no accidents here. So this James has now lost his job. That's a, how old is he? It's a tough thing. Houston's a monster. It'll eat you up. Okay. So now you get to enter into this man's life you don't even know. Get to enter into this Christian's life, or this believer's, this unbeliever's life. He doesn't know you. You don't know him. But you know the following things. You know, one, that God is in control. You know that God, the Holy Spirit, convicts. So what we can do now is to, as it were, sick the Holy Spirit on him, big time, and that in the midst of all of this, that he will hear the gospel of the man called Jesus, whom the Jews have rejected as their Messiah, and that he will hear of this Jesus in a way maybe that he has not been prepared to hear before. So let's enter into prayer in that regard. Oh, that we prayed for, is prayed about. Oh, my goodness. Well, this guy's been in our, we're going to really sit this Holy Spirit on him. I mean, if we're going to invest our time praying for this guy. Okay, let's get on him. Continue to be in prayer for Christopher Costello as he waits for assignment of where he's going to be. What's your first name?
Christy.
Christy needs prayer. He just came into our fellowship. Christy needs prayer, be in prayer for wisdom and strength and peace and guidance in her life. Right here in our fellowship. Okay, West Tuttle needs prayer. As we all do. All right. David, how's everything with you? We've been in prayer in and out for you and your health and all that. Is it okay right now? Doing good, all right. Very good. Okay. Well, let's approach the throne of grace together in prayer. These few names that have come up, and James and Christy, and then let's get ready for seeing some very important things in the Scriptures. Last night we saw some really great things in regard to not only cleaning, but in regard to the advocate. Going to see the same kind of thing tonight. I wish I could say I planned all of this to overlap like it is right now with John 14, but I didn't, but one higher and in far greater control than I am is in control. All right, let's pray. Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to assemble together. We mentioned before you, Father, the names tonight added to our petition last night. Father, you and your wisdom, you know all things. You know what it's going to take to bring James to a clear understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean that he will believe. But for a moment, Heavenly Father, that he will clearly understand the presentation of who this man Jesus is. It is our prayer and our joy that he would respond to the gospel. Father, we pray for one of our own assembly, Christy, that you will guide this young lady in the decisions that she needs to make, the things going on, Father, give her wisdom, and give her an inner peace that only your Spirit can give. She walks in the Spirit. And now, Father, as we enter into the battle and the understanding of spiritual love, we're at a very pivotal point, the person of this love, whose love is this that flows through us. Pray, Father, that your Spirit will cause us to understand these things. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Before I get into the study tonight, I want to point out something that you'll be hearing more of, and it's just an aspect we have not really added to the momentum of things that we've been studying, and it needs to be added very clearly. I told you, and we've seen in Paul's writing, we've seen what the real battle in life is. And what is the real battle? The battle is faith. The battle is a battle of faith. To continue to trust God, even in the most adverse of circumstances, the most difficult of circumstances, where you continue to trust. It's so difficult. But what I haven't stressed as much as I have stressed that faith is the battle, is a very important thing. Not only is faith is the battle, but people's faith is also the victory. Faith is also the victory. And that needs to be sure you understand that. Not only is faith our battle day in and day out, but when we do walk in faith, faith becomes the victory. John writes this in 1 John. I was reading it the other day. I haven't been emphasizing this aspect. Yes, faith is our battle, but faith also is our victory. Because when you and I are walking by faith, trusting the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit can do his work in us and give us victory over the world, the flesh, Satan, all these things. So not only is faith the battle that you and I have to continue to walk by faith and trust it, but when we do, therein lies the victory. So it's something that's very important that we'll be dealing with. Well, I want to get into our study because, like last night, got some really penetrating things to see that we saw in dealing with being cleansed last night. Remind you that next Monday night, we're going to have a teacher's meeting. Everybody interested in teaching the children, working with the children, the curriculum committee wants to meet and have a very important meeting next Monday night, 6 o'clock. Okay. Now, we're in the midst of studying spiritual love. And we have moved now. We saw that the work that we are to accomplish is spiritual love, or loving as Christ loved you. Then we saw that the cause of spiritual love is the Holy Spirit. And then we studied the means. And we saw that the means of spiritual love is our faith. Then we saw the consciousness. The consciousness of spiritual love is the Word. In other words, reveal Scripture. Scripture revealing spiritual love. And now we're taking a look at the person. The person of spiritual love, and the person is Jesus Christ. And that's where we are tonight. Love, if you start out and understand some very clear things, and that is that love, and when I say love, I'm talking about spiritual love, and no other love counts. No other love counts in the spiritual warfare. It's like talking about righteousness. The only righteousness that counts is the righteousness of the Holy Spirit. I don't care how moral, how righteous someone is in the flesh, it doesn't count. There's only one that counts. And so likewise, same with spiritual love. No matter how noble or ignoble or anything else, human love may or may not be. It doesn't count. It doesn't matter. There's only one love that matters, and that is spiritual love. And spiritual love is known, and spiritual love is known in a person. Now, the primary concept here that I want your mind to flow with, that it is known, spiritual love is known in the person of God, for God is love. This is what God is. One of the only attributes that just clearly states, this is what God is. And we have a long list of all the attributes and all of the essence of God. But this one is distinctly declared, God is love. Now, having an understanding of that, that God is love, and that love is known in the person of God, but no one knows God, the Father. Therefore, no one knows His love except the Son. And except through the Son are we going to know this love. Therefore, if I bring this down now, therefore love is now known, spiritual love is known, and it is a correct statement to say that it is known in the person of Jesus Christ. First of all, love is known in the person, and that person is God, for God is love. But no one knows God. So therefore, we now know Jesus Christ, so spiritual love is known in the person of Jesus Christ. He's the one who makes God's love known. In this sense then, God, for God is love, God came into man's dominion, came into man's world, and in order that both man and angel would know God and would know His love. And so God formed, this is where we left off last Wednesday night, so God formed a new race, God formed a new nation, so that He would be known in the world. And I want this to sink through now, because I love what we're doing, because it flows now, as you're going to see, with what we're doing in John 14. Okay, God is known, love is known in God, God is known in the Son. So what God did now, He chose and created a nation, a race, we'll put here a race, a nation, that He might be made known in the world, that He might be made known who and what He is, His love, through this race and this nation that He has created and designed. So God came in the form of the Shekinah glory and dwelt in a temple. So God is love, but I don't know God, can't know God. So God manifested Himself, and God came and dwelt in a temple. He dwelt inside of this temple in the nation of Israel. Temporology, the study of the temple, is extremely important. And like the temple, Herod's temple, that Christ wrecked, and then the Romans tore down, didn't even have the Ark of the Covenant in it. And that's why that temple is not referred to as the one being reconstructed in the millennium, the Temple of David. Not the Temple of Solomon, but the Temple of David. And sometime we might go through a flow of the temple, but we will when we get into our survey class, which we'll do on Tuesday night here. And I hate the word survey because it's going to be a lot more important than that, but that concept. Now, He came and dwelt in the Shekinah, glory. And last week we studied what Shekinah meant. Shekinah means dwelling. And then you add Kabbalah, the glory, Shekinah, glory, or the abiding glory. The abiding of His glory in the temple made with hands. And that's very important. So He came in the glory of God, dwelt in the temple, made with human hands. That's where He took up residence. Now, we're going to do some things later on, but just flow with me at this point, because we're going to come back to it. But look at Ezekiel. Look with me at Ezekiel 37 for this principle that we're looking at. This is really beautiful. I hope you'll flow with you as it did with me and all these things, and from our study in John 14, our study in spiritual love, all of these things. If you look at Ezekiel 37, and we're going to start at verse 26. Ezekiel 37, verse 26. And I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. Look at verse 27 now. My dwelling place. No, not what it says. The same word we've been studying. Shekinah. It's 8 to 8 and I Shekhana. In other words, his glory will dwell. My glory dwelling. My dwelling will be, also will be with them. Forget the kind of, forget that ideal of place. It's the Shekhana, it's his glory. My glory abiding also will be with them. That doesn't make good English, I know, but it makes perfect Hebrew here. My abiding or dwelling glory also will be with them. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. Verse 28. And the nations will know. We want the world. We want the world now to know. We want the world to know something. And the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. People, let me just stop because I want you to see how beautiful. We saw last night how cleansing goes all the way back to the very beginning with Job and the ideal of an advocate, all the way back to Job, first book of the Bible. Now, look at verse 28. And the nations will all know, this is what I want, all the nations, angelic and human, will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. Hold here. Let's see, do you need to hold here? Hold here and look at John 14 with me now. And just case your mind is no busy with work and these things. Look with me at John 14. Actually, John 13 first. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also may love one another. Now look at verse 35 and remember what you just read in Ezekiel. By this, all, forget the word men, it's not there, all will know that you are my disciples if you have this love for one another. Look at John 14, verse 16 and 17, or verse 17, 16 that we're studying. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate that he may be with you, you, the church, forever. Now go back to Ezekiel. Look at that. Look at the same concept. It just flows. And the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. Just start getting into your mind the dwelling of God. But it's for a lot of reasons, but pertinent to our study is one, he'll be in you and you'll know that you're sanctified. And secondly, all will know. All will know about God. They're going to world. Angels and man are learning by the residence of the glory of God on planet Earth. See? And the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in the midst forever. So, in the context of the new commandment and loving as Christ loved, all will know what? That you are mine. That you're mine. You belong to me. Not by something you and I tell them, though. It's not going to be by some creed. It's going to be when this love flows from us, then they will know. They can't see a temple. A person looks at us, and they just see the same thing they see with anybody else, a human body. But inside of this human body resides the Shekinah. Inside of us resides this glory. Inside resides the being of God. Now, how is the world going to know? There is no temple on the earth today. There will be in the millennium, but there's not now. So how is the world going to know who is sanctified? How is the world going to know that God is and that God exists and that he is sanctifying his own people? When you and I love as he loved us, they will know. That's how they are going to know. Now last night, when I said of being cleansed, we saw the need of an advocate in reference to our uncleanliness as unbelievers, therefore Jesus Christ is our advocate, and our uncleanliness as believers, therefore the second advocate, the Holy Spirit, for that purpose. Now tonight in our study, we see talk about God taking up his residence in a temple, then God takes up his residence on earth in a human body, and that's the next thing we're going to be looking at, in the form of his Son. So let's take a look. And then now we have what we're going to be going with this. First of all, God, so that we can see and know his love. God takes up residence as a Shekinah glory in the temple. So here is the temple. Here is Shekinah glory in the temple. Then God comes, as we're going to see in a moment, he comes in the form of the flesh and takes up his glory in the form of a human body in the person of his son. And then he's going to come. How? This time he's going to come in every human, every body of every believer, this time in the form of his spirit, the Holy Spirit. So we have, and this is why, if you follow through all of this, this is Jesus Christ, this is Jesus Christ, and this is Jesus Christ in you by the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. So this is what we have going on in our study. So we have the God being made known, first of all, taking up residence in the Shekinah of glory, in the temple, that all may know and understand his love. Then, at the perfect time in history, God's timing, what is going to happen is, then God will come in another. He's going to leave this sacred body, this sacred building, and he's going to take up his residence in another one. And this time he's going to take up his residence in the form of a human body, just like yours and just like mine. The glory of God in the body of man, we understand that as the hypostatic union, God-man in one body. So it hasn't, the ideal of God taking up his residence and the reasons why have not changed. He was here in the Shekinah glory. Now he's here taking up residence in a human body in that glory. So look with me at John 1. Look at John 1. I tell you what, before we do that, let me jump. It just seems, I don't know why, when I did this, it seems to do it at another place. But now I'm teaching it and talking with you on it, it doesn't. We'll get to John in a moment. But look with me at Exodus 25. Look with me at Exodus 25. I don't know where I was in regard to the study where I had it, but it just seems right to do it now. Because right now we're talking about God, and I want you to see the importance of Christ coming in his own body. There he will establish the pattern of all love. But I want you to see the importance of the dwelling of Christ and the importance in this respect of the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, just as last night we saw the importance of the advocate. So now let's take a look. Look at me at Exodus chapter 25, and we're going to look at verse 8. 25, verse 8. And let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. So God wants to come and dwell among his people, a place for the Shekinah glory to dwell. Now look at Exodus 29. Look at Exodus chapter 29, and we're going to look at verse 45. 29, verse 45. All right? And I will dwell among the sons of Israel and will be their God. And they will know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. I'm going to dwell among them, and because I dwell among them, they're going to know that I am the Lord their God. Now, I hope with all these verses you're able to just keep going with the thought. With that in mind, look at 1 John. This isn't done categorically. It's just done as we're, I hope it can make these interrelationships with you. Look at 1 John now. And remember what you just read in regard to tabernacling among the Israelites. All right, look at 1 John. They might know. I will dwell among them, and they will know that I am their God. Now look at 1 John 3:24. 1 John 3:24. And the one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And we know by this, by what? That he abides in us. By what? By the Spirit whom he has given us. So we know that we belong to him because we have his residence in us. Look at chapter 4, verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Can I turn back to Exodus? Do you see what's going on? Is it clear what we're looking at here? That God came and took up residence in the Shekinah glory in the temple so that they would know. And that all would know. Now, he's going to come over and jump into where you and I are. He's going to take up residence inside of every one of us by the presence of his Spirit so that we will know. We know. I know I belong to him. I know he's in me. But how's the world going to know that? Because I say so? I don't think so. That's not what Scripture says. Because of my doctrine? No. My theology? My knowledge? No. They're going to know when I love as he loves. Because only he can love that way. Love is known in a person. People, when you and I love, let me just get you thinking. When you and I love as Christ loved us, the world will not know you. The world will know Christ. They're not learning about you and me. They learn about you and me when we love outside of the power of the Spirit. That's what they learn. But when you and I love in the power of the Spirit, they're not learning about you. They're learning about Christ. This is the way Christ loves. And it's foolishness to the world. To love as Christ loved is foolishness. To die on a cross for reconciling a man. Meaning love that will meet the need. Love that will forgive 70 times 7. Love that does all of these things. It's foolishness to the world. And that's why the world will say, wait a minute, what kind of love is this? This is the love of God. Coming out from this mortal, this flesh. So this is what we have going on in that respect. Now in Exodus, look at chapter 13. Go back a little bit with me. Exodus chapter 13. All right, Exodus chapter 13. And we'll look at verse 21 and 22. And the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day. Now this is before the temple, so this is his residence. This is how he resided in this life. By a cloud by day to lead them on their way, and in a pillar of fire by night. That is Jehovah doing this, leading them, to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. And he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night, from before the people. Now, what we have here is that indwelling, just to give you a picture, that indwelling or that being also guides. This is something the Holy Spirit will do. Now, how is he going to do that? What we have happening is, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if at every crossroad, every question that I had to make, and the light would go right, and I could just follow this light, and then I could follow. People, there's no faith. What you and I have to do is we walk by faith. I trust the Holy Spirit to lead me, and then I walk following him. It's a battle. This is why faith is the battle, but it is also the victory that we have. Okay. Let's go to Leviticus. Let's go to Leviticus. Okay, Leviticus 26. That's some more in Exodus, but let's just move on to Leviticus chapter 26. 11. 26, 11. Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. People, think about it now, because there's no accident of what's going on. The pattern is being established. God is making his dwelling place among them. He's not going to reject them. God, in our study in John 14, is making his dwelling in us. I'm going to send you another advocate. I'm with you, and I'm walking with you in the flesh. I, God, walking in the flesh, in the human body, but I'm leaving. But I will come back and take up my residence in you, in the person of my Spirit. And I will never reject you. You will not be rejected. This is in a sense what John is doing in 1 John with his letter to them. They were afraid they were going to lose their eternal life. You're not going to lose your eternal life. You have the Holy Spirit. You're not going to lose it. You're not going to lose your status. I'm not going to reject you. This is what is so important for us to understand. All right, now in Leviticus 26, let's look at verse 12. All right, 11, moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. So the position we have, I'm going to walk among you. He and the person of the Spirit is guiding us as we walk. Now verse 13. Then the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, so that you should not be their slaves. And if you think of it in terms, we're in whose slave kingdom? Satan brought you out of his kingdom of darkness, so you'll not be his slave. And I broke the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect. In other words, the burden of sin, the burden of being in Satan's darkness was overbearing. But what did Christ say in our study? My yoke is light. And what is my yoke? What by faith? Not the law. My yoke is very light, and you can walk erect in that, if I'm dwelling among you. Look at Numbers 5. Numbers chapter 5. Just go through the law here. Numbers chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 3. You shall send away both male and female. You shall send them outside of the camp so that they will not defile their camp where I dwell in their midst. This is the dwelling place of God. And he's not going to have any evil. That's why when we study James, put away all that remains of evil. And we do this as we continue to walk in faith. Look at Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. Numbers 9, verse 15. And now, on the day that the tabernacle was erected, the cloud, this is a tabernacle, not the temple, but it's the same principle. It's the body, the abode, or the kind of glory is going to take up residence. That the tabernacle was erected, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, and in the evening it was like the appearance of fire over the tabernacle until morning. So it was continuously. The cloud would cover it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud was lifted from over the tent, afterward the sons of Israel would then set out, and in the place where the cloud settled down, there the sons of Israel would camp. At the command of the Lord, the sons of Israel would set out. And at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud settled over the tabernacle, they remained camped. How do you give the command? By the movement of the cloud. Think of this in terms of the leading of the Spirit in our lives. In verse 19, even when the cloud lingered over the tabernacle for many days, the sons of Israel would keep the Lord's charge and not set out. If sometimes the Holy Spirit says, just stay put. And we walk by faith because God is doing something with his people. If sometimes the cloud remained a few days over the tabernacle, according to the command of the Lord, they remained camped. Then according to the command of the Lord, they set out. If sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning, when the cloud was lifted in the morning, they would move out. Why all this redundancy? This just sounds like, yeah, you're telling them and you're saying in different ways. People, we've got to learn how to follow. And you and I in the church, if it was this meticulous as far as all of these instructions, how much more if we just walk by that faith? Because God is among his people for a very important reason, that the world will learn something. Continuing verse 21, they would move out. Or if it remained in the daytime and at night, whenever the cloud was lifted, they would set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud lingered over the tabernacle, staying above, the sons of Israel remained camped and did not set out. But when it was lifted, they did set out. So, I hope you've seen what's going on if we just come to the spiritual life and walking by the spiritual life, the dwelling of God in us. So we've got to be so sensitive. See, what they would do is that they would get up and they would look at the light. Okay, the fire is there at night, the clouds are there, okay, but just settle. Now what I want you to do, say to your firstborn, I want you to stand here all day and watch and let us know, and if it moves, let us know, but the rest of us are going about our business. I'm being a little facetious, but that's the idea. Because when it moves, that means we got to move. And some days it just would stay there, as it said, you know, maybe a couple of days, maybe a month, maybe all year. Just be ready. And then it would move, and it would stay. This is how you and I live our life. This is how you and I live our individual life. This is why, you know, there are a lot of reasons why people are against counseling, for counseling and all that. But if you understand the spiritual life, you understand why counseling falls short. All that I can exhort a person to do is walk in the Spirit. That's all I can do. Because I don't know what God wants you to do. I don't know what God has us to do. You know, well, if you have doctrine, you know you don't, because that's why we have the Spirit of truth. We have the Spirit of truth so that we will know. See? Somebody will say, well, I don't need the Spirit, I got the law. I know the law, and I know always what's right, what's wrong. No, you don't. You don't know what always God is going to do. See? We had a young man in our assembly that murdered his own mother. And it just greatly disturbed a lot of people. And they were greatly disturbed that I didn't get up and demand capital punishment for him. I can't do that. Well, you know the law. You know right and wrong. No, I don't. I know that God did not capital punish David. I know that God did not capital punish Judah. I know that God has that as the principle of the law, but I know too many times, I know that God let people who committed adultery just walk away, and yet I know what the word says should have happened, they should be stoned. I know what the law is, but I don't know wisdom. That's what Rod was trying to, one of the main things he was trying to say. You have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You don't need the Holy Spirit. You already got it all figured out. But if you have the tree of life, you don't have it all figured out. I need the Holy Spirit to know. And yes, sometimes it is going to be the direction of God, capital punishment. And sometimes it is going to be the direction of God, not so. It is not a breakdown in law before God. This is why it is so important, people, for us to learn. And what will love do? People like to have it concrete. Love will always... This is why a lot of people don't like spiritual love, because they prefer righteousness and law. Because in law, I always know what to do. Law says do this. And I have no doubt, and I just trust the law. But in spiritual love, I don't really know. And spiritual love says to do this, and then spiritual love says not to do that. You got two identical situations. We can do that in a classroom. I learned it in economics. In the classroom, you can just build your exactly alike and to make your point. There's two ladies and their husbands are beating them. Physically are beating them. Okay, law, they get out. No. The Holy Spirit could very easily lead one woman to stay right there and one woman to walk out and both be in the power of the Spirit. We've got to know about this leading, because God is doing things in history. God is doing things, and this is what you and I have to always remember in this love flowing through us. This love is a person. And this person does different things in different times, and how, you know, well, that Jesus can do that because he's God. No, he can do that kind of love because he has the Holy Spirit. You and I have the Holy Spirit. We have him in us to do this very same thing. Can I really, you know, this is why people get aggravated. Got very aggravated on it. We lose our control. We lose our control of everything if we're just going to walk by faith. No, I want to be more in control of my environment. I want to be more in control of my marriage. I want to be more in control of everything. But walking in the Spirit is for whom? It's for free people. That's no control. So we walk by the Spirit. Okay. Let's see. We're in Numbers. Before I started getting off on preaching, we're in Numbers 9. And verse 22, whether it was there 2 days or a month or a year, that the cloud lingered over the tabernacle, staying above it, the sons of Israel remained tempt and did not set out. But when it was lifted, they did set out. And the command of the Lord, at the command of the Lord, they camped. At the command of the Lord, they set out. Now, here is interesting. And I'm going to have you tell me. How do I know the command of the Lord in this context? What is command? How do I know the command? Is there a verbal command saying move out? Is it? No. So how do I get the command? What's in Christ? What's in Christ? People, what I want to point out is every the people who live by obedience and live by law, they've got the command. But that's why it's so important in that John 14 passage. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What is commandment? This commandment is faith and love. It's command. It's that simple. You don't burden yourself with thousands of commands. He who loves me will keep my commandment. My commandment is faith and love in context. Just as it is here. And it's there for those who will see. The command isn't, all right, everybody move. No, it's just watch and walk by a faith. Since the light moves, and you move with it. Okay, let's look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. We'll be looking at the books of the Old Testament and how they all fit into these things, but later. But Deuteronomy 133. Deuteronomy 133. Moses' farewell address and pep rally talk before they he's taken out and they cross over into the Promised Land. Okay, verse 33. Who goes before you on your way to seek out a place for you to encamp in the fire by night and the cloud by day to show you the way in which you should go? So God has come to dwell among his people so that he can lead them, guide them. Now look at Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy 23:14. Okay, 23:14. Since the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and defeat your enemies before you, therefore your camp must be holy, and he must not see anything indecent among you, lest he turn away from you. Okay, what's going to happen when you and I are walking in the power of the Spirit who indwells us? He's going to defeat your enemies. He's going to do all of these things that God is doing as far as his purpose is given to us. Okay, now, let's move back, having taken up those verses. So, now move to John. Now let's look at John 1. That's where we were. Now if you turn to John 1 with me. John 1. With all of that in mind, with all those verses in mind now, we've taken a look that God has come and taken up residence as the Shekinah glory among his people. Now, let's take a look at the change in history. The Shekinah glory moved from a temple made with hands to a temple of the flesh. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh. All right, to become. Before he was Logos. In our text, before he was the Shekinah glory in the Old Testament, but now he becomes something that he was never before. Now the Word, the Shekinah glory, God, so that we can know him, is going to come as his Son, the Son of God, right here, is going to come as the Son of God, and he's going to come in a body of flesh. He's going to come in a body of flesh. And now we get to see him just a little more personal than that cloud and the light, the fire, and the Shekinah glory in a temple where only the high priest is allowed to go in once a year. Now it's a little more personal. The ultimate personal, not yet, but a little more personal. Because now we can actually see. And as John says in 1 John, we can touch. We can see and touch. So let's take a look. So this change renders obsolete all of the sacred temples all the sacred buildings, all the ritual related to the old. Why, people? Because he's not there. Does that make sense? That's why the temple is of no value. Once the day of Pentecost began, the temple is of no value. It is empty in all respects. He's no longer there. He has now left the temple made with hands, and he now resides in this body. Okay, let's take a look. And the Word became flesh, and then it says, and dwelt, became flesh and dwelt among us. The Greek word deals with the word to dwell, temporary lodging. Not permanent, but temporary. Motel, hotel. Temporary dwelling. Going down the road and you need to stay a while. Going down the road, you're on a trip and you need to stay a while. So the Shekinah glory coming now as the Son of God is now going to dwell temporarily in this body of flesh. Okay, now, temporarily dwelling, it's not the temple, this is a flesh not made with hands, it's a human body. And the Word became flesh and temporarily dwelt among us, that is mankind, and we beheld His glory, Shekinah glory. Glory as only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace, this is continuing all the way from the Abrahamic covenant, full of truth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is the truth concerning God. Now, people, stay with me because now we're learning, we're getting down. I want to love as Christ loved. This was never before because Christ, God had not become His Son in the form of the Son of God ever before. So now He becomes in the flesh, the Son of God in the flesh, and now I can watch Him. Now I can see and observe. And what He's going to do, love, is what I'm going to have to do if the world's going to know that He's in me. Now, He is in every one of you that have accepted Christ as Savior. But whether or not the world knows it or not is how you and I are going to love. So Jesus Christ left the temple as the Shekinah glory no longer is in the temple, took up residence in His own body. Now what happened? In His temple, or in His body, and a whole study in John 14, 13 and 14, one big word, always over and over, departed. Departed. Okay, boom, He departed. So there goes the dwelling of God on earth. God no longer is on earth, as it were. He wants to be on earth among men, but He's no longer on earth. So God has departed from earth, and now for it, God isn't really on earth, as it were. So the departure of Jesus Christ did what? It created a void. It created a void of the presence of God. There was now a need for a new place for God to dwell. Okay, let's see the flow. He dwelt in the temple as the Shekinah glory. And I'd like to go down, but I need to save my next page. All right, temple. And then He came in the flesh. But He departed. So now, this leaves a great void. There's a void here. And it created a need. This void has created a need. And what is now needed is a place for God to take up residence. There is a need for a new place for God to dwell. So, God did something again. He created yet another place. He created a new place. See? Not in one temple. So here's one temple, but not in one temple made with hands. See? Not in one body. Let's put it on the board here. Not in one body as He did here. And the glory shone from that one body. But He created a new temple, a new body, in the form of a new spiritual creation. A new spiritual creation. He created a new body. He created this new body so that He, God, could have a place to dwell among men so that the world would know that He is and what His glory is like. And that place to dwell is now inside of every one of us, every one of us, every born-again believer. So I hope that it's starting to penetrate, as important as this temple is to the whole history of Israel, as important as the flesh of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ is, that's how important you are in all of this. Because inside of you resides, people, inside of you resides the glory of God, the Shekinah glory. He takes up residence in you. This time, here, the form of the Shekinah glory, here as His Son, the Son of God, and now, here, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, inside of us. He is inside of us to reveal His glory. So I want you to think about what's going on inside. What's going on in our passage in John 14. I'm going away, but I'm going to leave you. Send you. Have the Father send to you, God the Father. Have the Father send to you another advocate. Here is our advocate. But He left, setting up the need of another advocate, setting up the need of a place for God to dwell. And that place now is inside of you. It's inside of every one of us. God, in the form of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, dwell among men. And now He dwells among us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Christ in you. So this is the whole deal. Jesus Christ, He is inside of you. Christ in you. Now how is He in us? By that advocate, the Holy Spirit. Christ in you. Now what is that? That's the hope of glory. Christ in you. The hope of glory. This is why He's in you. This is why He's going to be there. So the world needs to see, people, the world needed in the time of Israel, the whole world needed to see an angel, needed to see God and what God was doing. And today, people cry out, why, if there is a God, why are there so many bad things going on? If there is a God, I don't even know if there's a God. Look how bad the world is. Look how rotten the world is. Look at all the bad things that happened to me. If there really was a God, all these things wouldn't happen. How is the world going to know about God? How's the world going to know about what God is doing? The world is going to know what God is doing when they see spiritual love flowing through a believer. He doesn't remove it. He resolves it. Just as when the world saw Him in the flesh, what did they see in the flesh? What did we learn about God in the flesh? We learned about the love of God that solved man's problems. Now we come to the time in which you and I live. And the time in which you and I now live, this spiritual love is to flow out from us so that the world will know what God is like. The world will know what spiritual love or what the love of God is like. That's where they're going to find out. He isn't going to reveal Himself by making all the bad things stop happening in the world. All the unfair things happening in the world. All the trouble in the world. All the horrible, all the evil, all the rest of it. No, I'm going to send something to planet Earth that is more powerful than all the bad and all the evil, and that's my love. And the only place the world's going to see that is in a believer. It's not something that people understand. God could just stand up there and just pull out all the bad, all the evil. But He chose to do it through you, through us. And how do we do that? When that love flows out from us, that's what the world's going to see. That's how the world's going to know that God dwells in you, that you belong to God. Not by something we say, something in the manner of doing like do and do, but it's when spiritual love flows through us. Why, people? Because spiritual love is a person. Spiritual love is a person. Who's the person? It's the person of Jesus Christ revealing the love of God. They're learning about God. They're learning about the person of Christ. You and I are insignificant. The building of the temple is insignificant. The material of that ancient temple is insignificant. Oh, the gold and the acacia wood and all of the things that were put together to build it. But it's the treasure inside. And there's a treasure inside of us for 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There's a treasure inside of us. That's what's important. You can do all kinds of things with a container. Doesn't matter. It's what's inside the tank. That's what's really important. You can decorate a container all up and have it look beautiful. You can just have just a simple container. Since wine is used in the New Testament and as well as in the Old, not the bottle that the container that the wine comes in. It's what kind of wine's inside. That's what the issue is. And you and I have inside of us a treasure. And that treasure is the person of the Holy Spirit revealing the person of Christ so that the world sees his love. When you love is Christ's love, they do not see you, they do not see me. Once you start, just see another, once you start drinking a really nice wine, you no longer look at the bottle or care about it. All that's important now is what was in it. And the same thing is in regard to Jesus Christ. Once you start pouring out spiritual love, what becomes an issue is Jesus Christ. This isn't my love. This is the love of another person. Remember, love is known in a person. The person is Jesus Christ. This isn't me. See, you're not learning about me. You're learning about Christ. This is the way Christ would love. And that's what you and I want to do when you and I love. The world knows, no, we want to live by righteousness. No, we want to live by decrees. No, we want to live by this. We want to live by that. No, Christ said, by this all will know that you're mine. How? If my love flows through you. If you love as I love. So this is a great issue. And this is why you have to understand you can't talk about love in some abstract concept. It can't be done. Don't even get involved in that kind of a discussion. Love is talked in the framework of a person, God. God is love. I don't know God. No, but God has manifested himself and revealed himself through his Son. Now through his Son, I know God. And I know how God loves. And that same love now flows through you. So that when you and I love as Christ loved, the world is drawn away from me. Why would you love that way? Why would you let them move away from me and they start concentrating on him and they see how he loves? And then what does he do? He brings them to God. So it all starts with inside of you is the Holy Spirit producing this love, pouring this love. This love flows out. The love draws attention to Christ, takes it away from me. I'm no longer important. Oh, God, how we want to be important. How what I say and what I do is important. Not even. Not even. But the love of Christ flow through you, and by this all will know that you're mine. And it's so difficult. Law is so simple. Law is so easy. I know what to do. There it is. But love never fails. And all the things that love will do. But remember, what they're seeing is the person of Christ. That's closing the word of prayer. Father, how grateful we are for your essence, for your being, that you are love. But Heavenly Father, there is no way that we could know your love, know you and know your love. You are God, infinite, and we are finite. And you came and dwelt among us. You came and tabernacled among us in the Son of God. And now you dwell and tabernacle in us. Father, it is our humble privilege to have your love flow through us. Have the love of your Son flow through us when we don't want it to, when we're angry, when all of the things say that otherwise they should do this and that should happen. And we do not yield ourselves to the law, but we present ourselves to your Spirit. A miraculous thing begins to happen. Your love begins to flow. Same love that put Christ on a cross. Maybe the same love that puts us into death. But it brings glory to you and your Son. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.